We are in a series. We are in week three of our four-week series. The entire month of March is going to be Lordship Living, God Provides, talking about time, talent, treasure, and touch. The very first week, we talked about, isn't it all mine? And God is the source and the creator and owner of everything. Last week, we talked about the blessings we do not deserve, and we kind of bounced around a lot in Scripture and looked at Jacob and Esau, the prodigal son, and also the dying thief on the cross. And the first week was on ownership, last week was on relationship, and this week we want to talk about how am I doing? And it is about trust. And the Scripture verse that we'll be reading from is in Genesis chapter 22. So there is an overarching theme that runs through our series of sermons, and that is God provides. If you can get a grip on this idea from the treasure of God's holy word, our lives will go from humdrum to hilarious, from doubting to dancing, and from worrying to worship. Indeed, God does provide for his own. So if you want, open your Bibles to Genesis 22, verses 1 through 18, and hold it right there. That's what we'll be reading. It is a story that probably is not unfamiliar to many of you. It is about Father Abraham and his son Isaac. Today, I want to make it clear what the desire of God's heart is for his children. And it is total reliance on God. If the story of Abraham and Isaac models any expectation that God has for us, surely it is total reliance on God. As we look closer at this Genesis 22 verses 1 through 18, let's ask ourselves one very pertinent and personal question. When it comes to total reliance on God, how am I doing? In other words, by the choices I make and the priorities I slate, does my personal life clearly state I am without question totally relying on my God? How am I doing? Let's analyze God's test of reliance on Abraham. You see, we call Genesis 22 the Abraham and Isaac story. But if you study it closely, I'm sure you can make an argument that it should be called the God and Abraham story. Make no mistake about it, the God and Abraham story surely has an effect on the Abraham and Isaac story. But the two main characters in this story, in this chapter of Genesis 22, are God and Abraham. We have a passionate passage, a strange command by God to Abraham. But then we also have the even stranger response of Abraham to God. Doesn't it seem odd that Abraham never questioned aloud God's unusual command to sacrifice his son Isaac as a burnt offering on a distant mountaintop? You see, God's request, it was mind-boggling. But Abraham's response, it was even more mind-boggling. In other words, Abraham passed God's strange test of faith by living through the trial with a completely surrendered heart. Abraham went one step beyond the call of duty to the holy ground of devotion. So, as we look closer at this God and Abraham story of yesterday, let's not forget the major teaching point for us today. And that is, if we are truly effective stewards of life, we must learn the truth from Genesis 22. And that would be Abraham's total compliance to God proved his total reliance on God. Total reliance on God proves whether or not we possess true faith in God. So now, let's look closer at Genesis 22 and the extraordinary trial of Abraham's faith. And as we investigate this mysterious story, we can find three marvelous clues about living our lives before Almighty God with surrendered hearts. Clue number one. A surrendered heart is always ready to sacrifice regardless of the confusion. And for that, we want to read Genesis 22, verses 1, 2, and 3 is where we'll start with that. Genesis 22, verses 1, 2, and 3, and they read like this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham? Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. When God asked Abraham for a sacrifice, he didn't ask for Abraham's stuff. You see, he asked for Abraham's son, which was about the same as asking for Abraham's soul. Make no mistake about his intentions. And at the conclusion of this peculiar command, we can learn God's request made perfect spiritual sense, because all along, he was not after Isaac's death. He was after Abraham's life. God knew that he could not emerge from this faith trial with Abraham's life unless he first asked Abraham to put to death what he loved the most. Abraham was somewhat confused by this request, this command, but he was totally surrendered. The story of Abraham's faith, it began many years before this Genesis 22 saga. And that was when God called Abram to leave his home in order to prove that he loved his heavenly father more than his earthly father. You see, it was a sacrifice that Abraham was willing to make. Now, many years later, God tested Abraham's faith again. He called on him to sacrifice his son. And Abraham was ready for this test. Though he did not understand the unusual command, Abraham was ready with a surrendered heart to prove that although he loved the gift of Isaac, he loved the giver of the gift, God, even more. Abraham had to choose between God the giver and Isaac the gift. And without hesitation, Abraham was ready to offer the gift of his son back to his giving God. So in this mysterious faith story, we have clue number one for determining someone's total reliance on God. And that is, again, a surrendered heart is always ready to sacrifice for God regardless of the confusion. Let's go on. Clue number two. A surrendered heart is always willing to worship, regardless of the cost. Worship regardless of the cost. So open again to Genesis 22. We'll start at verse 4, and we're going to read all the way through verse 10. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey, while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. When God asked Abraham for a sacrifice, inspirational recording artist Larnell Harris sings a great song based on Abraham's reckless worship. The song is titled, "When Praise Demands a Sacrifice." Let me share the first words and the verse and the chorus with you. They go like this. "The call to go to Mount Moriah came to Abraham, but the offering placed before the Lord was not a lamb. He bound his only son, and as the knife was raised, a sacrifice became the price of praise. When praise demands a sacrifice, I'll worship even then, surrendering the dearest things in life. And if devotion costs me all, he'll find me faithful to his call. When praise demands a sacrifice. See, the walk to Mount Moriah took 3 days. Surely God planned it that way, so that Abraham would make the choice to worship God on purpose. Surely Abraham knew that he loved the Lord with all of his heart and his soul and his strength. But his mind, it must have been playing games on him. So God gave him time to think through this mind-boggling command. On the third day, Abraham arrived at his Calvary. Would he surrender or would he retreat? Would he trust God and go to the top of the mountain? Or would he return home? Would he worship or would he wander? You see, as in Gethsemane, when Jesus left his three disciples and he went farther into the garden to surrender his all to the Father, so Abraham left his servants at the foot of the mountain and took his only son to his place of surrender. Together, the father and son moved toward full devotion. The son carried the wood, much like God's son would one day carry the cross. Abraham carried the fire and the knife, signifying that this thing would happen. It was his will to please his holy God by sacrificing his beloved son as a burnt offering. Finally, all of the items for worship were present except the sacrifice. The wood, the fire, and the knife were ready. Now all that was left to complete the worship to God was to bind Abraham's very heart upon the altar in the person of his only son. You see, the consequences, they were of a cutthroat nature. Yet Abraham willingly followed through with the worship service. And as Abraham surrendered to God, out of love and devotion, he offered his son. So Isaac submitted to his earthly father out of love and devotion by allowing his father to carry through with God's strange command. Yes, Isaac submitted himself and allowed his old dad to tie him up and place him on their new altar. Now here is a sight to behold. Abraham's act of faith and Isaac's willingness to comply are indescribable. Abraham's darling lies ready to bleed, die, and burn by his father's own hand. Surely in astonishment of Abraham's determined allegiance, all of heaven has now leaned over the banisters of glory to view this private and passionate worship service that is taking place on the very mountain range where Almighty God would one day offer the darling of heaven for all of Abraham's descendants. This act of Abraham offering up Isaac is a lively representation of the love of God for us. He gave his one and only son as a sacrifice for our sins. Abraham was obliged both in duty and in devotion, and even with gratitude, to part with Isaac because he was offering his beloved son to a trusted friend. And that would be God himself. Yet God was under no obligation to us, for we were still sinners and enemies of God when he offered his son for us. See, John 15, Jesus says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Certainly that would be a good scripture for Abraham and even for us. But God went far beyond that when he gave his son to us. You could rearrange the verse a little bit, and it could go like this. Of God, you could say, "Greater love has no God than this, that he lay down his life for his enemies." Listen to the next verse of the song I was telling you about. It goes, "The call to go to Calvary had come to God's own Son. For an altar waited for the Lamb he would become. His hands reached up to heaven as the cross was raised, and with his life he paid the price of praise." You see, by faith, Abraham was called God's friend. For in offering Isaac, he offered himself in abandoned worship to God. And by faith, Abraham was called God's friend because he surely laid down his life for his friend, Almighty God. So in this mysterious faith story that we've been talking about, we have clues number one and clues number two. A surrendered heart is always ready to sacrifice, regardless of the confusion. And a surrendered heart is always willing to worship, regardless of the cost. Let's go on to clue number three. A surrendered heart is always open to obedience, regardless of the countermand. And that would be the cancellation or the calling off of the original command. And for that, we want to finish up our reading in Genesis 22, verses 11 through 18. And they read like this. "But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham.' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son." So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called out to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of your enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Here we see Abraham going one step beyond sacrifice and taking worship to a whole new level. Even though he was ready to sacrifice Isaac and willing to worship recklessly, even when God spoke a new command, Abraham laid aside stubbornness and chose obedience. Can we even begin to imagine the depth of what God must have allowed Abraham to experience before he intervened with deliverance? Know this, the more imminent the danger and the closer we come to being devastated, the more wonderful and welcome the deliverance of God is to us. Don't try to convince me that Abraham's worship didn't go to a whole new level when God called off the killing of Isaac. Abraham and Isaac traded their undeniable devastation for indescribable celebration. There was without doubt a two-man revival on Mount Moriah that day. What brought about the revival? Abraham's openness to obey God's last-minute cancellation of Isaac's murder. Surely, Abraham and Isaac would testify to us today, to obey is better than to sacrifice. Take one step beyond duty and sacrifice and enter the holy grounds of devotion and obedience. In all of their jubilation, suddenly Abraham and Isaac must have cried out those two words that I started this sermon with today. God provides. For as soon as Abraham put down the dagger and Isaac exhaled, they looked and they saw a ram caught in the thicket. As the ram God provided for the sacrifice was offered, Abraham named the mountain. What did he name the mountain? The Lord will provide mountain. And yes, as I said earlier, years later, on that very same mountain range, Almighty God provided his son to be our Savior. On the mountain of the Lord, God sees and provides for those who surrender all to him. On the mountain where God sees and provides for us, we should see and praise him. As the flames consumed the ram on the altar, the voice of the Lord came again to Abraham and renewed yet again the promise of his provision, which he would extend to Isaac and to all future generations of people, including those of us today who choose to place total reliance on God. So, in this mysterious faith story, we have three miraculous clues that prove total reliance on God. The first, a surrendered heart is always ready to sacrifice, regardless of the confusion. Number two, a surrendered heart is always willing to worship, regardless of the cost. And number three, a surrendered heart is always open to obedience, regardless of the countermand. You see, Abraham was ready to sacrifice. He was reckless in worship, and he was righteous in obedience. Okay, it's time again for that personal reflection question. How am I doing? Maybe you're thinking, Pastor, I think I can say I'm partially obeying God. But do you realize that partial obedience is perfect disobedience? If Abraham had partially obeyed God, Isaac would have been dead. And God would have been alive with righteous anger toward Abraham. You see, Abraham passed the test of readiness, willingness, and openness. So how am I doing? By his total reliance on God, Abraham proved his true faith in God. But how am I doing? When praise demanded a sacrifice, Abraham worshiped even then, surrendering the dearest thing in life. And though devotion could have cost him all, he proved himself faithful to the call. And God called to Abraham again to let his son live. Abraham proved to us that total reliance on God is total obedience to God. So again, how am I doing? You see, there's a little more to the Larnell Harris song that I was telling you about. He talks about Abraham, and he talks about Jesus, and then he turns this song to personal application. Listen to this. God hears the words of praise we lift, yet I have found he's honored more but what I'm willing to lay down. When praise demands a sacrifice, I'll worship even then. Surrendering the dearest things in life, and if devotion costs me all, he'll find me faithful to his call. When praise demands a sacrifice. So how are you doing? How am I doing? Are we living in total reliance on God? Do we have true faith in God? Are we living on the mountain of the Lord with completely surrendered hearts? Are we proving our total reliance on God by our total obedience to him? If so, then we can know that God provides. And as the worship team comes forward, I ask you again, how are we doing? For you see, he died for us. Can't we at least live for him? As it was on Mount Moriah, so I believe it is today. God does not want dead martyrs as much as he desires living sacrifices. I've been telling you about this song that was written by Larnell Harris. And just before the worship team closes, I want you to listen to the song. This song is sung by a guy, his name is Greg Rice. And he's going to sing this song for us so we can listen. Go ahead, Aaron.
Came to Abraham. But the offering brought before the Lord was not a lamb. He bound his only son, and as the knife was raised, a sacrifice became the price of praise. When praise demands a sacrifice, I'll worship even there, surrendering the dearest things in life. And if devotion costs me all, he'll find me faithful to his call. When praise demands a an altar waited for the lamb he would become. His hands reached up to heaven as the cross was